Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to your weekly dose of all that is LGBT+.
Welcome to Shout Out. I'm not Andy Shilton.
And I'm not Steph Barnett. Today on the show, Punker.
We talked to the organiser, Stu Freeman.
Pep and Prep.
Alid is back. No, he's not
no,
back.
No, we've got a Chomo.
Ah, okay. He's not back.
And books.
Yeah, Alid, if you're listening, I know you're not well.
Quick. Come on, come on. All on today's show. There we go. Well, that's how you screw up the beginning of a show, isn't it?
No, I thought that was perfect. You know what it is, don't you? I get straight out of my TARDIS and I get disorientated.
Well, you did say you were a bit twisted. It was... Or was it Ben? It was one of the two.
I think that was...
Oh, your mic, sorry.
My mic was twisted, yes.
Yeah, it obviously rubbed off.
Rubbed off. What's so rubbing off?
That was my fault, because I quite often do the first line, but when I'm presenting with you, I sometimes like give you the first line just to throw you
curve off. Ball.
Well, yeah, that was and a I completely threw myself by reading your line, but never mind.
It sounds like a lover's tiff, does this?
Yeah. I love you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
I love you even more if we win at the BPA.
Oh, that's true. Yes, we are at the BPAs and Saturday.
Yeah, we'll British be going Podcast up. Awards.
Yeah, we've been nominated. We're up against six
other... In the finals.
The trouble is we're up against people like Chris Moores, BBC Sounds.
Yeah.
Hello, Becca, if you're listening. See you Saturday.
Yeah, we'll let you know how we get on next week. So, but thank you for all those that you've sent in good luck wishes and the like. So hello, Andy.
Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I hope everyone else is too.
And this is Andy's first show that he's produced.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. Well done, Andy.
Which means I've got to find some way to take the mickey out of it, isn't it?
Yes. Of course, it's got to be done.
So. We should say a very warm welcome. Well, I think it's welcome back, isn't it? I'm sure we've had you on before, isn't it?
Yeah, back in February.
Stu is here to talk about Punker.
Hello.
Again. Yeah, well, it was Punker we talked to you about last time, wasn't
it? Absolutely, yeah. So Punker is Bristol's LGBT+, and friends, anyone can come. The Indie Rock Club Night. I'm one of the DJs, and we also put on gigs. So we have live music. We also sort of mix in a sort of drag element. And we have burlesque performers, all sorts of things.
I guess people can travel. You're not. Yeah. You accept outsiders from the city and county of Bristol, yeah?
Absolutely. Excellent. Yeah. We have to give you a stamp, though, to make sure you know that you're an outsider. Tomorrow night we've got a gig. We've got one of our Punker Presents gigs, which is something that I organise. And we have a touring band called Hawk. You can find them online. The W in Hawk is spelled with two Vs. Put together, just so they're easier to find.
But you can hear them.
Yes.
Well, if you're not listening on the podcast, because obviously music's not in the podcast, but if you're listening live or on one of our stations, you'll hear them shortly.
Yeah, it's
quite cool. I quite like the track, actually.
I think Julie from Hawk has got the most beautiful voice. She's got an incredible voice. And
it's quite haunting, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that track is...
In a good way.
It's quite haunting. It's quite chilled, but some of their tracks
not like
are quite
the way
rocky.
Steph haunts you. That's slightly different.
We've got them coming to Zed Alley tomorrow. We've got two Bristol bands either side of them as well, so Deep Sea Thieves and Oh the Guilt are both playing as well, and they've got basically Hawk have got an album launch, so their album, half of their album, comes out tomorrow.
Also, will they be there signing CDs?
They'll be signing CDs and they'll be doing all sorts, but
kids, if you don't know what that is, it's the round thing that we used to stick in a machine. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, is it on tape as well?
I think it's on vinyl. I'm sure.
I could hear Terry in the background shouting Hit Parade at me.
Where's the 8-track version?
But it's all the Old Market Assembly, isn't it?
No, it's at Zed Alley tomorrow.
Oh, Zed
Alley.
Okay.
It's sort of tucked away right in the city centre. It's a really nice little venue. They're very LGBT friendly, and they have all sorts of nights on there. But we've had a gig there in December, and they were just brilliant. It's a really nice little stage.
That's a new one on me. I don't think I've been there.
It is tucked away. It's about 2 minutes walk from Colston Hall, though. It's really easy to find once you know. There is actually an alley called Zed Alley that leads you to the venue as well, so it's nice and helpful.
Zed as in Z-E-D?
Zed Alley, and as I say, it's very near to sort of the Hippodrome and Colston Hall, things like that, so it's right in the city centre, BS1.
It's,
is that behind the sport? Is it the Sportsman?
That's right. Yeah, yeah, you got it. Yeah, yeah. But behind the Sportsman, just sort of the little steps over the road from the Griffin kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a really nice little venue.
I know where you are now.
Yes.
Yeah, because I know where the Griffin is. That's really bad.
Brings back a lot of memories.
Just go through when it is. So it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow night from 8 p.m. We've got Drag Queen Delirium, who's going to be our host as well. So that's, adds another element to it. It's only £6, so for £6 you're going to get 3 bands and a drag queen host.
That's a bargain.
And loads of really good music as well, obviously.
And you.
Yeah, and I'll be there and I'll play some tunes. I'll probably be on the door taking your money. But yeah, obviously all the money's going to, go to the acts as well, as it should. That's, as I say, it's one of the gigs that we do, but we're also later on in the year we've got the club nights, and also we'll be back for another Pride after party as well.
It's coming around fast, Pride.
It really has.
But yeah, we haven't actually said that on it. You are one of the official Pride after party.
At the Old Market Assembly. That is going to be, that's a big one for us. This is the biggest one we've ever done in terms of the lineup. So we've got live music, we've got drag, burlesque, we've even got some ballet as well, sort of like indie ballet dancing, all sorts of things. So it's a bit of everything, and obviously we're going to be DJing till the early hours as well. So it's just something that's going to be really special, but just very, very different for your after party.
Cool. And it's nice because, as much as, don't get me wrong, I really like the venues on the other side of town as well, but there's always a lot there and not so much in Old Market, which traditionally has catered for a slightly different kind of market. So it's really cool because I know the Bear Bar will be flowing. We've lost the Palace this year. But it's really good to hear that there's something going on at the Market Assembly too. And for the 10th, it's the 10th anniversary of this incarnation of Pride.
So that's why we wanted to do something really big and really special and just really, really different. It's a really varied lineup, but also it's one that's sort of a greatest hits of punker as well. It's all the people that have had really, really good feedback, and we've all we've had on for the past year. So it should be quite a good show, actually.
Cool. This is the band that you've got.
Yes,
playing
tomorrow night. Hope.
Tomorrow night. Do you want to introduce them then?
Yeah, so this will be from their album that's going to be released tomorrow. This is a song called The Factory.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Hawk and The Factory. And as you heard, you can hear them at Punker. Tomorrow. It was tomorrow, wasn't it?
Tomorrow evening.
So.
Well done.
It'll be lovely.
You remember what day it is today?
I'm a bit of a shambles today. I really am.
That was because my TARDIS landed on your foot.
Yeah.
Materialised.
Yeah.
It's
always your fault somehow, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, wrong word. It didn't land. It materialised.
TARDIS has materialised.
Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Loving your bear shirt.
That's very kind
really,
of you.
Really good to see about on radio, but it is really good.
And
very
look colourful. At that one over there as well. All our listeners, point towards hands.
I have Jason. Hannah. Hello, I have Jason Momoa on my shirt today.
Jason Momoa. Now, okay. I know that he's from Stargate Atlantis.
Aquaman. Very close.
Yes. Well, no, he is in Stargate Atlantis.
Is it?
Yes.
Who Aquaman is?
No.
Oh, Jason Momoa. Got there eventually.
Mixing your genres.
She's reading you the news headlines, Nitz. I promise you they are true.
They are. 100%.
She's been eating raw fish, I bet.
Oh, no. Vegan.
Vegan, vegan. Vegan fish.
Vegan sush.
Vegan sush. Yes.
Vegan fish.
You can get vegan fish.
Can you?
Yeah.
I'm sure many fish are vegan.
Toe fish, it's called. Toe
yeah, fish. You can get nice fish fingers from Holland and Barrett.
You can, they're delicious.
Which are very nice, are tofu based. Mm-hmm. They're very nice with your baked beans.
Yes.
Do they swim very well or do they sink?
They swim really well into my mouth.
Oh!
Sounded worse than I intended.
Welcome to live radio, everyone.
Yes, dear
with
off
that, should we get some news headlines?
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 16th of May.
Now, we know anecdotally and from research into social attitudes that LGBT people are more likely than their cisgender or heterosexual colleagues to be interested in the environment and ecological issues ranging from animal rights to ethical buying. Now, we are pleased to report that one of our fellow community radio projects has switched over entirely to sustainable and renewable energy sources. Melbourne's Joy FM has been broadcasting for the last 25 years. in a country where community radio is well established with 40 years history. The station, which is audible 24 hours a day on 94.9 MHz, is the only all-gay radio station with an FM outlet in Australia, and it takes its responsibility to the community seriously. We're pleased that Joy have been able to make a success of the move to renewables and wish them all the best in their continued work for our Antipodean cousins.
John Robbins and Ellis James are a positive comic duo whose programme on the commercial channel Radio X has earned rave reviews for encouraging boys and men to talk about mental health and feelings, dealing with issues including relationships, sexuality and marital breakdowns. Their three-hour programme has also been turned into a weekly hour-long podcast, which has earned much admiration on social media. Restructuring at Radio X has meant that their show has been dropped, but The Guardian says that they have been offered a new slot on BBC Radio 5 Live, the national sports and talk network on the Beeb. The new series starts at the end of May. The guys say that they will continue to talk about men's issues in a sensitive and nurturing environment, and have also strong criticism of those comics who say that their humour should involve ridiculing minority groups. Speaking to The Guardian, they said that people who complained that their free speech was being curtailed were normally what they called straight white men who mistakenly believe that gay and BME people gaining equality somehow eats into their own status. BBC Radio 5 Live is available on Freeview, cable packages, digital DAB radio and on 909 kHz on medium wave.
G-Scene magazine is a must-read for people living in a city that is often cited as the LGBT capital of the UK, that's Brighton. The magazine is marking its 20th anniversary this year and has started a new column which each issue will look back at the news as it was 10 years ago and 20 years ago. Also inside the current issue is an analysis of the lies peddled by a self-styled doctor who claims that LGBT inclusive education is indoctrinating children, and a review of the great charity work undertaken by the recent Bear Weekend in the Brighton Gay Village. The magazine is available for free download as a PDF if you don't live in the vicinity of the city.
Distant radio station Radio Free Europe, which transmits to the old Eastern Bloc countries from powerful transmitters in Germany and on independent satellite channels, reports that many Russians still hark back to the old days of Joseph Stalin, who ruled the communist Soviet Union between 1928 and his death in 1953. Under Stalin's rule, the initially liberal views of the new Soviet Republic with regard to the LGBT people were swept away and replaced by a new cult of the family, with gay and bi people suppressed, deported to Siberia, and even subject to strange experimental medical abuse. Stalin's successor, Nikita Khrushchev, condemned Stalinism and made reforms to the Soviet system, but the ban on gay relationships remained in place until popular discontent across the country led to the dismantling of communism at the end of the 1980s. Russia did briefly liberalise in the wake of the collapse of the state communism. However, in recent years, a new cult of the family has been instituted, with all sorts of groups harassed by state and ultra-nationalists, ranging from punk rockers through Jehovah's Witnesses to LGBT people.
Now, Friday the 17th of May will be Idaho Day, also sometimes called Ida Hobbit Day, depending on the credentials and interests of the exact organisations celebrating it. The International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia was created in 2004 to draw attention to violence and discrimination experienced by lesbians, gay men, bisexual people, trans, intersex people and all other folks with diverse sexual orientations, gender identities or expressions. The date of May the 17th was specifically chosen. It commemorates the World Health Organization decision back in 1990 to declassify homosexuality as a mental disorder. The day represents a major global annual landmark to draw attention of decision makers, the media and the public. Excuse me. I do apologise. Opinion makers and local authorities to the alarming situation faced by people with diverse sexual orientations. This year, events in more than 130 countries have been organised.
Across the globe, with activists from across political spectrums and with diverse ideas all marking the day in their own way. And a lovely story to conclude with, the respected African Caribbean community newspaper, The Voice, says that what is believed to be a light-hearted stunt has elevated left-wing Labour MP Diane Abbott, who was the first black woman elected to Parliament to the position of the Queen. Miss Abbott was elected in 1987 and has recently come into her own as a member of the Shadow Cabinet. Spoof stamps have been appearing in the centre of London, with her face replacing that of Her Majesty the Queen. Now, technically, this is an act of treason, and the Royal Mail are said to be investigating, but many users of social media said that this was a rather po-faced response. Some said that it was a good way of celebrating the first black woman in Parliament.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Hans Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
So am I. That's by Ava Maz.
So Are You What?
I love that song.
It's nice, yeah, but So Are You What?
So am I. Mad as a hatter.
Yes.
Aren't we all? So, welcome to Shout Out.
Question, what is sanity?
So, no, I really like that. I try and like get the odd chart one in, and that was up in the charts. So
yeah,
I've got the big anthem coming. I don't know if you follow Eurovision or not, but I've got coming up in a bit. I've got the UK entry.
Excuse me, but if you're part of the rainbow flag, then you're in Eurovision.
My Facebook hasn't stopped with Eurovision. It's yours.
No, mine hasn't either. No. It's quite depressing at times with all this Eurovision and nothing else.
Are you a Eurovision fan, Ajayma?
I used to be
a
fan. Yeah, yeah, great fan. So I've grown up now.
Grown up. Haven't been watching it this year then, though.
Well, maybe, yeah. I need to be reminded, I suppose.
As you may well have known, the show was built. Adid was going to come back. He joined us last week, very kindly. But he's not very well, so hope you get better soon, Adid. But Achomo has very kindly said that she will step in and have a chat with us about prep and the projects that we were going to talk to. And so firstly, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now you're part of Brigstow, aren't you? Same
yes,
as Alid.
Yes.
And you're getting involved in a new project, I believe.
It's a brand new project and really exciting. It's called PrEP. PrEP. We are coordinating this project in partnership with Prepster, London-based So the project is to raise awareness of PrEP among women in particular.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so for those who don't know what PrEP stands for, it's pre-exposure prophylaxis.
Yeah.
And it's a pill that HIV-negative women... Well, we are promoting men. Now, all men, I'm promoting for women. I'm for women only. So we are encouraging women to know more about PrEP, to have access to PrEP, and it's a pill that you take one day, one pill a day, and we are targeting women, especially women who are at risk groups. Those who especially have vaginal sex, really, So mainly we are targeting like black women, migrants, people of who speak other languages, trans women. We are targeting sex workers, those who are at risk of HIV. But what we're doing now is mainly to recruit women who self-identify themselves as
Is the knowledge not out there then? Are they not aware that PrEP is around?
Because it was mainly among men, and not just men, gay men mainly, or men who have sex with men. So for PrEP now, it's just beginning to be put for women as well. So women are being recruited to have access to it.
Right. Because I don't. It's still not nationally available yet, is it? It's still under trials on the NHS, I believe.
This is a trial funded by Public Health England.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It's still new. Only few people are being targeted, and for this project, we are promoting. We are trying to encourage women in the Southwest region to have access to PrEP as well. There would be, if you come to our training, which is going to be on the 21st and 22nd of June, we are recruiting now women.
Right.
Then you would get to learn more about PrEP. So, for example, when you take the pills, how to take it, what PrEP is about. So, yeah, it's mainly about recruiting women, because it's still the first of its kind for women, especially.
Yeah, which is brilliant, because it's had a dramatic effect in the gay male community, especially. I mean, we saw the infection rate in London dropped by something like 80%. It was
That's absolutely mad how much it
had an effect. If you're listening, you've not heard of PrEP, it is important that you consult with a doctor before you go get on it. But in effect, it is a drug that you can take once a day that gives you an extremely high resistance to HIV infection, isn't it?
Yeah, so we are for this project, we are recruiting women, we are training women, especially
so
women.
You're wanting them to then pass on the message to other people as well, then, right?
So the women that we are recruiting now are women who self-identify. They have peers, they have networks, they have groups. So we pass you the knowledge, and then you can pass it on to your communities.
Right. Okay. And so it's more about informing them.
About informing the communities so that they are aware and they can have access to some of the sexual the venues where these pills are being administered.
Do you think there's issues though with women coming forward, actually saying they have HIV?
No, you don't have to be. It's only for women who are HIV
negative.
No, but
what I'm saying is, in general, is it an issue that women don't come forward? Gay men seem to have come forward and they understand that. But does there seem to be a block with women coming forward and volunteering and saying, look, I need help. Can I go on this drug? Are they just not aware?
Especially women are not yet, many are not yet aware of the PrEP. But also there's a lot of stigma and fear of accessing services, especially sexual health services for women. But we all know that women are unfortunately are disproportionately affected by HIV. That's a worldwide issue. And issues around stigma, fear, lack of awareness stops women accessing some of these services.
So you're organising locally, but is this an international push?
No, we are organising. This is a national project. Right. What goes on around the world, I still don't know. But more and more awareness of PrEP or access to PrEP is being administered around the world. What I know is that Scotland and Wales do have free pills. PrEP is more accessible to in Scotland and Wales, not yet in England. And that is why we are raising the awareness among women. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I think it's revolutionary. And there's been some quite big advances recently with PrEP as well, hasn't there? I know there's been talk of a potential injection that you can have once a month rather than taking a pill each day, which could, they're reckoning could be quite a game changer, especially among people who wouldn't get used to taking a pill once a day.
Is that PrEP or is that PrEP. HIV pills?
No. I mean, PrEP is one of the pills for HIV. So, but it is for both, from what I understand.
Yeah, but PrEP is pills for those who do not have HIV. But although I'm not sure how it works among men very well, but I know among women we are particularly targeting women who are at risk of contracting HIV, like I say, black people, sex workers, trans women. So they have to be HIV negative to access PrEP among women. I'm not so sure about that.
So we're talking about preventative medicine here.
It's the preventative method. Yep. Yeah. So that's why it's called pre-exposure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Proper laxis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anyone, it doesn't matter who you are, you need to be HIV negative to go on PrEP. So that's not unique to unique to women. So it's really good to hear that it's reaching out. So what's the response been like so far? Have you spoken to many people?
We have there are a few women who have shown interest. We only have one-off training, which is going to be the 21st and 22nd of June.
Right, okay.
And we hope that we're going to be able to recruit enough women who can then go out into their communities and encourage women to access these services.
But if someone's listening and they are a woman who is in, you know, might have questions about it or want some more advice, is Brigso somewhere they can come and talk?
You can contact us at Brigso. I'll give the telephone number and maybe the website. The telephone is 0117 955 5038, or you can email us at info@brigso.org. Do get in touch for a chat, and also if you're interested in the training, we would really love to see you there.
Cool.
The training again is on the 21st and 22nd of June, and if you are interested in participating, you must be available for both days.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, it's brilliant to hear, because, you know, it's something we followed right since the day the drug was first kind of announced. And it's something that's been very passionate to my heart as well, because HIV has such a huge effect on so many people the world over. So it's really good to hear that there are projects going on that are reaching out to even more people. You know, hopefully in our lifetime, we'll see an end to HIV, which would be brilliant.
I think the progress is advancing so fast with this great news. There's also U=U.
Yes,
I'm not going to talk more about that.
Alan talked about it last week on the show.
He's passionate about this, and I would have loved to talk to you about that. But there are a lot of things. The pills, for example, if you, which is U=U, the more and more people are living longer. People are not dying, which is a great thing.
No.
And PrEP is one of those. I like it because women at least have access to it now.
Yeah.
Although it's still on trial, but evidence shows that it works very well. It's highly effective.
It does. It's very, very effective. So just as a caveat to it, if it is something you are thinking about doing, we know from people we talk to, it is very important you talk to your doctor before going on it, and ensuring that you get tested and are HIV negative, because it's actually detrimental if you are positive and start taking it. So do make sure you do some research into it if it's something that you're thinking of doing. If you are in a high-risk group, get some advice.
Even
talk
to
people at Brigso, our friends over at iwantprepnow.co.uk. There's a wealth of information on there. We've spoken to them many times on the show too. Yeah. So, but Shamo, thank you so much for stepping in.
Thank you for having me.
I'm sure Ali wasn't intending to be ill, but it's lovely to meet
I'm
you.
Sure. And
it's
it
brilliant
have
to hear the work you're
ill
doing
on a day like this. No. So, Aled, if you're hearing, I hope you get well soon. I'll see you soon.
So cool.
Thank you for having me.
You're
thank
more
you
than
again.
Welcome. Yeah. It's been lovely.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go. That was Bigger Than Us by Michael Rice. That is the UK Eurovision entry for 2019.
Yes. Come in, Denmark. Can we have your scores, please?
That's not nice.
Yeah, do you remember those wonderful days in the 70s when the Eurovision, it was done by an old satellite link-up? And you just to say, and now can we have hello, Ankara? Can you hear us? It was wonderful. It's all satellite now, isn't it?
It still has a delay, though, if you notice.
There is a delay.
It just doesn't matter what happens. It obviously takes a certain amount of time to get it across the planet.
Yes.
So.
And do you remember the year that they had a public vote about who and where the British jury would report their results, and they had Lorraine Kelly standing outside the Prowler store on Old Compton Street with lots of queens ricocheting around in the background. It was amazing. That shows the gay following of Eurovision, I think.
Well, that was a bit like, didn't they? They had that vote to name a boat, and they all wanted to name it Boaty Boatface.
Boatface. And they said no, didn't they?
Yeah,
they
but they did name the submarine Boaty Boatface. They did, yes. Which is quite funny.
The ship itself was named the David Attenborough.
It was,
wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
A man with a Bristol connection as well, yeah.
Are you a Eurovision fan?
I haven't watched Eurovision since Jedward.
Oh, so. Good Lord.
Jedward.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Going back a bit.
Yeah. What about Lottie?
No, I don't know is my answer to that.
Okay.
But yeah, I used to really enjoy it. I used to get foods from around the world and do score sheets. I took it quite seriously.
You need to move over. Lottie is a special friend to Hans.
Yes.
You can't see her.
No.
Okay, but the rest of us can. So there's four people across from us.
She's my invisible friend. Sorry.
Yes, I can see her.
You can see her.
Yes. You're a Time Lord.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Time Lords can see everything.
She's interdimensional.
What, Lottie is, or
yes.
Me?
I don't know where you are.
I don't know. Yeah, after our geography conversation earlier, I'm you know,
that
still
was
hanging
abysmal.
My head in shame.
Yes.
It was. Shocking.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
No.
Should we talk books, though?
Yes. Speaking of which, we've just had one delivered from Denmark.
That's wonderful.
Now, the author's going to be on the show, and this book...
It's brilliant.
Free to Be Me, it's called, by
Dominique,
which is very clever.
Dom and Ink. Yeah.
But it's so...
But it's really good. He's
so
tactile. Illustrator.
It's very shiny.
Yeah. It's a nice new book, isn't it? It's beautifully presented.
It's lots and lots of illustrations. It's not like a book you would read.
No, it's like a kid's book.
It's an interactive journal.
Oh, that's a good way of explaining it, yes.
It
tells you to do things, like, you know, write out all the horrible things and then rip the page out and throw it away and things like that.
Yeah, I saw that. There's dinosaur went on a date.
Yes. And we're not going to be mentioned, because in past shows we mentioned about dinosaur sex. We're actually not going to go into that now.
What type of dinosaur is in the book?
One with hair.
I think it's a velociraptor.
I think it's a velociraptor as well. Velociraptors are a thing, aren't they?
They are.
They're a big thing.
They are a big thing.
They are. Well, they're in Jurassic Park, weren't they? They were made famous by Jurassic Park.
Yes, along with the T-Rex.
Well, T-Rexes were famous before, in fact. But velociraptors, no one had really heard of them, I think, outside the dinosaur community.
No, I hadn't.
In fact, Michael Crichton.
I think it made it more famous, the fact that in America it says objects in the rearview mirror may appear closer than they actually are, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, but no, it looks like a really good book.
That was in Toys R Us as well.
Toys R Us?
In Toys R Us, the aisle, when Toy Story were in Toys R Us on the aisle, and they had Barbie in a Jeep and they were being chased by
a
T-Rex.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's Toy a nice Story. Homage to Jurassic Park.
But no, it'd be interesting to talk to the author. So, Dom and Ink. Available in. Is it out yet? The book, do we know?
I don't know
because we do get some things pre-released. We'll find out. We'll get the author.
Can I just
on the
say, having a quick read through that, something that really stood out to me is on every sort of 10-15th page there's a positive LGBTQ plus quote by somebody famous, which I thought was
that's really nice.
Really nice,
yeah,
cool. No, anyway, Terry, talking of books.
We are talking of books.
We are.
And once a quarter or thereabouts, we have the top 10 LGBT books. As compiled by our friend Kate at the News From Nowhere bookstore in Liverpool, which is the Northwest's alternative bookstore with a big LGBT section. So you can find them online.
Do you need the Pick of the Pops countdown?
You can count down from 10 to 1. So the number 10 book is We Go Around the Night and Are Consumed by Fire by Jules Grant, which is about a lesbian gangster and street poet Donna, who runs the all-female Bronte Close gang, and her friend Carla, who's a single parent and part-time MC. I'm going to cough again, excuse me. I do apologise, I'm recovering from a cold, so you will have to excuse me. Together, they carve out an empire in the toughest streets of Manchester. Unlike the city's other gangs, run by men, caught up in violent turf warfare, the women keep their heads down, doing business their way, selling drugs in perfume atomizers in club toilets, and working as cleaners to account for their illegal income. That sounds like a great novel, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Number 9, Enigma Variations.
But you missed off the last line.
But when Carla is gunned down, everything changes. That's the hook, isn't it?
That's the big hook.
That's the hook to get the book, Number 9, Enigma Variations by Andre Ackerman. From a youthful infatuation with a cabinet maker in a small Italian fishing village, to a passionate yet sporadic affair with a woman in New York, to an obsession with a man he meets at a tennis court, Enigma Variations charts one man's path through the great loves of his life. Number 8 is Murmur by Will Eaves, which looks at the arrest in 1952, I think it was, Andy?
Yes, it was. Alan Turing, yeah.
Alan Turing.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
And the legally enforced castration of the mathematician Alan Turing. And it's a book inspired by that.
Oh, right, okay. And so it's not. Is it about Alan?
Yes, Alan, I believe Turing. So, yeah. Weaving its, mythology and looking at lives and loves and how we perceive ourselves in the world.
Do you want me to do number 7? And
if then you we could, so I can
you can leave the studio and die quietly in the corner. Right. Number 7, The Love Story for Bewildered Gills by Emma Morgan. Grace loves a woman. Annie loves a man. Violet isn't quite sure. But you'll love them all. When Grace meets a beautiful woman at a party, she falls suddenly and desperately in love. At the same party, Lawyer Annie meets the man of her dreams, the only man she's ever met whose table manners are up to her mother's standards. And across the city, Violet, who is afraid of almost everything, is making another discovery of her own. That, for the first time in her life, she's falling in love with a woman.
That's beautifully made as well.
Right. It is. It sounds a bit like a Mills and Boone back sort of back
an LGBT
of a book.
Mills and Boone.
Yes, there's that's a horror story in its own. Andy, read number 6.
Oh, okay. Proud: Stories, Poetry and Art in the Theme of Pride. A stirring, bold and moving anthology of stories and poetry by top LGBTQ+YA authors and new talent, given their unique responses to the broad theme of pride. Each story has an illustration by an artist identifying as part of the LGBTQ+ community. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, compiled by Juno Dawson, who also wrote This Book Is Gay.
Right, Hans. Number 5.
This Book Is Gay, I like that.
Number 5.
Okay, we've got Under the
Udala
Trees by Chinelo Ocparanta. In this masterful novel of faith, love and redemption, Chinelo takes us from a woman's childhood in war-torn
Biafra.
Through the perils and pleasures of her blossoming sexuality, her wrong turns, and into the everyday sorrows and joys of marriage and motherhood. As we journey with Igioma, we are drawn to the question, what is the value of love and what is the cost?
See, that was real teamwork there as well. It was just like, you knew.
No, fantastic.
Number 4, Andy.
Oh,
Andy H.
Thank you. We Were Always Here, a queer word anthology edited by Ryan Vance and Michael Lee Richardson. From drag queens and discos to black holes and monsters, these stories and poems wrestle with love and loneliness and the fears, mysteries, wonders and variety of experience that binds our community together. We Are Always Here is a snapshot of current Scottish LGBTI+ writing and showcase of queer talent.
Mm. Are you ready?
I think I might be able to have a go. This
go
is
with
number 3.
We're in the top 3.
Which is
three.
Great
we
are because in the top three you've got a really hard word to start that one off with. So
I have actually. I've got a few African names because it's called Drapetomania, or the narrative of Cyrus Tyler and Abednego Tyler, by John R. Gordon, and it's described as an epic tale of black freedom, uprising, and a radical representation of romantic love between black men in slavery. So when a house servant is sold away down south, his heartbroken field lover, Cyrus, snaps and flees the estate on which he has lived his entire life, leaving everything he knows behind him, evading dogs and patrollers as he heads north. In the midst of a dismal swamp, Cyrus receives a revelation that Abednego is his true North Star, and impossible though it seems, he determines to find love and rescue his lost lover from slavery.
Excellent. Who's the youngest in the studio? It's got to be Hans. You got this one. Kids book.
Yay.
Kids book.
No, this is good, this one.
Pride, the story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag by Rob Sanders, illustrated by Stephen
Salerno.
That one. In this deeply moving and empowering true story, young readers will trace the life of the gay pride flag from its beginnings in 1978 with social activist Harvey Milk and designer Gilbert Baker, to its spanning of the globe and its role in today's world. Award-winning author Rob Sanders, stirring text, and acclaimed illustrator Steve
Salerno.
Thank you. Evocative images combined to tell this remarkable and undertold story, a story of love, hope, equality, and pride.
Right, who's going to take number one? Yeah. Numero uno.
So with this number one rings a bell, gentleman Jack. I'm sure it's one that we've...
It's on Sunday. It's on Sunday on BBC.
That's right, yeah.
It starts at 9 o'clock, I think, isn't it? The first of the series.
So, story of Anne Lister.
Yeah, so the book is number one. I guess you need to read... I don't know, if the series is on, who prefers telly and who prefers books?
Well, you see, that would be where me and the husband differ, because he would quite happily read the book and I was like, yeah, happy to see the film.
Yeah. So it's basically... Yeah. Gentleman Jack, that is on BBC One from Sunday. Biography of Anne Lister, Regency landowner, seducer, and secret diarist by Angela Stidell. Yorkshire heiress, intrepid world traveller. Have you seen the previews?
I think it looks fantastic.
It does. There's been a bit of a kickoff for the woman who's actually playing the part of Gentleman Jack, because she's straight, but she plays it so well, who cares?
Well, we haven't had something like this since Tipping the Velvet, as far as I can remember, so I
think it's a historical,
really, really good TV
lesbian drama.
And no one knew about lesbianism in the 1800s, and they found these diaries and they were actually written in code, so they decided she was very explicit.
I feel like that's what I should have done in my youth.
What, be explicit?
No, written in code.
Written in code. I'm sure it looks
well, you haven't finished your youth yet, so maybe you've still got time.
In antiquity, yes, it looks absolutely fascinating,
it does.
Doesn't it?
And
she achieved a great deal.
The word lesbianism wasn't around then either. So,
what did they say then?
No, what?
Well, they say then, gay women.
No, it was impossible.
They said nothing.
No, because
they didn't exist.
No, lesbianism never existed.
No, but it did.
It existed, but it wasn't. What's the word?
It wasn't
criminalised in the United Kingdom.
No, it wasn't a thing because men thought that lesbianism couldn't happen.
It wasn't acknowledged.
That's very true. Although women who loved women obviously did find each other, I think that's important to say.
This one town in Yorkshire, it must have been 50% lesbians.
Because of Anne Lister's exploits,
she was prolific.
There was
oyster shuckers. From Tipping the Velvet. Different.
Yes. That was close.
Thank you. I was going to say that the term homosexual actually appears first in 1868, but lesbian doesn't appear until about 1875.
No, because it was impossible. It's well known two women cannot have sex.
Well, I beg to differ.
Unless there's batteries involved, I guess.
Oh, and batteries weren't around in 1870.
No, exactly, Terry. HP2s weren't around then.
Batteries have been around since the 1600s. You just had to have a gigantic great bucket to put them in.
This is turning into a scientific debate. It's very interesting. But thank you to News from Nowhere Bookstore up at Bold Street in Liverpool for providing us, as they always do, with the top 10 LGBT books that are top selling. All sound absolutely fantastic. The one I think I'd go for is We Go Around in the Night and Are Consumed by Fire, because I like the idea of the lesbian street gang that sells drugs in perfume atomizers in club toilets.
That attracted me as well.
Absolutely brilliant, doesn't it?
Yeah, very bizarre.
That's the one I'd go for.
What about you, Andy?
Yeah, well, what would you buy for a friend?
From a personal point of view, I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of Alan Turing. You know, I mean, he was a gay guy who invented computers. I work in computers. I'm a gay guy. You know, I absolutely love the story of his life. It's something I've done a lot of research into. So I'd love to read that book. But I must say, I'm actually really pleasantly surprised to see number two, which is the children's picture book with the story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag. You know, it's especially with all the stuff that's going on at the moment with teaching equality being mistaken for sex education and stuff, which is not what it is, and all that exploding. It's really nice to see some things, you know, that is genuine history, and certainly isn't anything that's going to be explicit or the like. It's a story of Harvey Milk and of the Rainbow Flag, and the Rainbow Flag is such a huge symbol in the LGBT plus community.
You it's normalising it as well for children from a very young age, which I think is so important.
Yeah,
I think that's
Andy, what would you choose?
I think for me, again, it's got to be number two, because Harvey Milk is such an inspirational person, and his nephew Stuart Milk has visited Bristol back in 2016 to promote the work of his uncle, and obviously his very tragic death.
Yeah,
so
we've had him on the show.
Yeah, really, really nice chap.
A fascinating chap to talk to. Yeah. So, and he's a huge advocate of the, because he's not gay himself, is he?
I'm pretty sure he is.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yes, I know that he's a White House consultant.
He is, yeah.
You know, he gets consulted on lots of things to do with equality. So, but yeah, and I don't know if you've seen the film Milk. Brilliant, really, really well made. Yeah.
Sean Penn is Hans. What would you choose?
Well, no surprise, we were always here from drag queens and disco to black holes and monsters, because that basically sums up my evening.
Oh, you are funny.
The only thing that's not there is dinosaurs.
So what would you go for then, Steph? Monsters.
I think I would go with Gentleman Jack. I'm really, really looking forward to Sunday and seeing the series. But that, like you, that kid's book, Pride, is going to be special, isn't it? Yeah. You know, that's out there specifically for children. And it's
really
just about
see.
The history. So nothing about putting LGBTQ news down your throat. It's just a bit about history and a special moment as well.
Yeah.
Very much. One period in time. Yeah. So that is books.
In fact,
we'll be doing it again, I think, probably in August or September.
Yes, we will, but in News Magazine, the same we were talking about, No Outsiders,
absolutely.
We will be discussing that in 2 weeks' time.
Because
No Outsiders.
That's been, again, once again, bubbling up and coming into the news
back
with a major feature on BBC Two News Night last night, which was very interesting. And nice to see that the BBC get it, you know, rather than polarising the debate, they had representatives from the sort of more moderate Muslim positions in Birmingham sort of saying, actually, guys, this isn't about sex, you know, forcing sexuality on children. This is about saying that in a modern, diverse society, some families have two mummies and some families
unfortunately,
have two
daddies, it's even now spread down here into Bristol as well. It hit the news this morning.
Yeah.
So they've been writing to schools here in Bristol.
They
and saying, basically, that it may not be making kids gay, but it's encouraging them to be promiscuous.
But have you seen some of the things that come out? It's like, that you could turn my child gay, and you know,
very strange,
and also
kind of ideas,
it turns out that the conservative Muslims that are organising these protests are contacting conservative Christians.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's nothing new, and you know, as we'll probably analyse in future weeks, it's strange, as somebody once pointed out on Twitter, a lot of conservative religions who usually hate each other's guts, really, not to put too fine a point on it.
But
actually, they always unite when it comes to bashing LGBT people, which is quite ironic and politically quite telling. I'm
very
afraid.
Sad. But we should point out, though, it's not everyone.
I think that's a very important point to reflect.
There were some
good moderate voices
speaking out as well.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for another week. We hope you wish us good luck this Saturday in the British Podcast Awards.
We'll let you know how we get on next week. But in the meantime, catch up and listen again online, as well as finding out more about us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
At least we got the right way around at the end, didn't we? So. Anyway, next week, The Queer Angel, but from myself, Andy, Hans, Terry, and the lovely Steph, beam me up. Say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.